5,000 hotel rooms. We look at cumulative audience probably in the order of 50 million, and we will have 50,000 volunteers. This is well known to you. South Africa clearly has an excellent track record for staging, hosting major events, and if you compare South Africa with any other country, you'll find very few countries with this kind of profile for major events hosted in this country. And the point about all of these events, more than 140, all of them safe, not a single incident. And this year, 2009 alone, we had the Indian Premier League, 100% safe. Confederations Cup, 100% safe. Irish, British and Irish Lions Tour, 100% safe. The ICC Champions Trophy, 100% safe. And of course, there were the Tri Nations, the Super 14, the Curry Cup, and all of these events, together with the Manchester City, who played here in the beginning of the year, not a single incident. Of course, many of the final performers of Manchester too. We will just recall the match against Paraguay, for obvious reasons. All of these events, so South Africa has an excellent track record when it comes to event safety and security. That is the history of the World Cup. You can see this tournament was dominated by Europe and South America, not only on the field, but also in an organizational sense. That this event is always organized in Europe and South America, but also on the playing field, the winners only from South America and from Europe. This is the performance of African teams in the World Cup, the highest number of participation. Cameroon, the further they went to the quarterfinal, and you can see in South Africa, this is our third World Cup, and we did not manage to go beyond the first round. I think we won this time. In any case, that is a tough performance as a coach. We will go into the second round. And we see the performance of the other African teams. Ghana went to their first World Cup, went to the second round. Cote d'Ivoire, we expect better performance. And that is just an indication of the teams that will come to the World Cup. We will know within a week whether Nigeria, Cameroon, Egypt, Tunisia, Algeria, any of those teams, and maybe even Gabon, will qualify. Those are the world champions. You can see Brazil has won it 5 times. You read that Brazil wants to win it 6 times in South Africa, Italy 4 times. So you see the quality of teams that have qualified. Brazil, 5 times champion, Italy 4 times, Germany 3, Argentina 2, Uruguay 2, France, England, the Netherlands have all qualified, of course, was in the final of the World Cup, never actually won the World Cup. So we are on track to have the best World Cup ever. There are 3 things that we require. The best infrastructure, the best teams in the world, the best organization, and a high number of traveling fans. Combination of those things, I think, will give us the basis of having a memorable World Cup in our country. These are the teams that have qualified from Africa, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, South Africa, from Asia, Japan, North Korea, South Korea, Australia, from Europe, Italy, Germany, England, Switzerland, Slovakia, Spain, Denmark, Serbia, from South America, Brazil, Argentina, Paraguay, and Chile. And what is important is also from a tourism point of view. From Europe, we have all of the key markets. Germany, we have about 160,000 German visitors over the last 3 months up to August of this year. England, more than 350,000. Switzerland, about 69,000. Spain, very low on 34,000. But also new markets, Serbia, maybe Russia, will qualify, as well as Brazil, Paraguay, Argentina, and Chile, where the average is still just on 30,000. We can have more tourists from those areas. The stadiums, these are the existing stadiums, Ellis Park, the Royal Bafokeng Stadium. You can see the quality of the pitches of these stadiums, Loftus, the three stadium stadiums. Those are the four existing stadiums. But it is the new stadium that I think will surprise the world. First, the Three Point Stadium. That stadium was giving you views over the coastline, the Table Mountain, as well as Robben Island. And that is what the stadium looks like when the lights are switched on the other night. It's going to be clearly one of the best stadiums in the world. The stadium in Durban, from the English journalist's point of view, this is, in their view, the best stadium in the country. I certainly think not just in our country, in the world, it will be one of the best stadiums in the world. Of course, the Rift Stadium also has the arch, and the arch is a viewing platform, so we can go up on the arch and have a wonderful view of the coastline of the stadium in Devon. The stadium in Soccer City, which is the venue of the opening match and the final match, we know now that Fofana will play on the 11th of June in the stadium. We'll know on the 4th of December against which team. And that stadium also would be complete. You'll see the area where you have a gap there for the media tribune that must be built in the stadium. But for all intents and purposes, the stadium is operationally ready. Now, place, the stadium do attract the game lodges and game parks in the area. You see the giraffe as part of the roof construction. You see the zebra patterns in the seating in the stadium. So the stadium blends in with the key attraction in the area. Polokwane, we call it Peter Mokaba Stadium. That stadium, so you can see the grass on the and the stadium seating in. So that stadium too will be ready. The stadium in Port Elizabeth, of course, is ready on the 14th of this month, November. The final is playing Japan in the stadium. We've asked Safa to play the matches in the new stadium so that we can test the operational readiness of the stadium. And Safa agreed to play the match in the stadium. And it's the first time that we'll have an international football match in the stadium. There you see the inside of the stadium. So that stadium too is already operationally ready. This is the transport budget, which I'm sure is known to you, dealing with the World Cup transport, the airport expansion program, the national roads upgrading, the Caltrain, as well as other provincial roads. That is the airport and Caltrain infrastructure roads. You'll see that travel all over the country that there are road works and the roads have been upgraded for the support of the World Cup. The bus has a transit system already being implemented in Johannesburg, cost of $18 billion, and then also the refurbishment of the train set. Airport expansion program, of course, the new airport in Dumfries, that is Johannesburg or Oliver Tambo International Airport, as well as Cape Town International Airport. Information technology, the department that provides all the 50,000 journalists with the infrastructure and the technology to do their work and get their stories and pictures out of the country. These are the support systems and technology partners of the event, MTM, Spectrum, Sony, and Telecom. And that gives you just the landscape of the different platforms to deliver the event to the expected 30 million cumulative audience over the 31 days of the 64 matches in South Africa. You'll see the stadium, the data centers, the FIFA headquarters, the organizing committee's headquarters in different locations, all of these things through the IT system. Accommodation, we have at the moment contracted 46,000 rooms, we need 55,000 rooms. There's no question that these rooms and this target will be reached within the month. That is an indication of what happened in Germany, the growth in tourism. Even in 2007, a further 3.5% increase in arrivals and stays in Germany. Tourism in South Africa, 32 new hotels have been opened. The funnel will now go to stay in the Radisson in Port Elizabeth, the 5-star hotel that just opened last week. And we see also the new Radisson in Johannesburg and other hotels opening in South Africa. Ticketing, there you can see the breakdown of ticketing, and that gives an indication of where we expect the fans to come from. The highest United States, 86,000. The UK, 50,000. Germany, Australia, Canada. Of course, Canada has no chance of qualifying for the World Cup, and yet we have sold over 11,000 tickets in Canada, as well as Israel, 9,200 tickets in Israel, and again, Israel will not qualify for the World Cup. Australia also, 18,000, so Australia is qualified now, but these, I think, more indication of South Africans living in these countries coming back to support the World Cup. The ticketing fund, 120,000 tickets that will give out 40,000 to the construction workers, two tickets per worker of the 20,000, and the other 80,000 will work with the commercial partners in programs involving education, health promotion, environmental education, and other social causes to distribute those tickets. That is the growth capacity of the ticket and the ticket constituent groups, the media, the VIP tickets. We spoke about the ticketing funds and other ticket allocation groups. That is the ticket prices. You'll see that the category 4 tickets from the group match 2 to 48 is $20, and also for the wheelchair, $20. And the person pushing the wheelchair will come in on the same ticket. So a person in the wheelchair will have two persons entering on one ticket. Person pushing the wheelchair will come in free of charge. That is the ticket sales phases. The sales phase 2 closes on the 16th of November, and then after the draw on midnight, or 1 minute past midnight on the 12th of December, we're opening sales phase 3 of the ticket. And we think in that sales phase we see the spike, because then the fixtures will be known, the 32 teams that have qualified, and then people can buy actual tickets again, matches. In spite of the fact that the impression has been created, there are no tickets available. We have a significant number of tickets available, so you don't have to panic that you will not get a ticket. And now the chairman has promised that you will get a ticket. You don't have a difficulty there. That is just data on the ticketing purchases. The volunteer program, we have 7,999 applications from more than 170 countries, and you can see where the highest, again, Nigeria, and the second highest, United States. The interest in the U.S. Is very, very high. here at the end of the broadcast, for the first time we're bringing a crew of 200 together with the broadcasters from the US. We also see countries like Azerbaijan volunteers applying, El Salvador, Honduras, Costa Rica, but every country in the world applying for volunteers to come. Safety and security, that is the budget amount, $1.3 billion, and those are the areas of the investment, 41,000 additional police, 640 million. And then we see the equipment, including crowd control equipment, water cannons, command vehicles, unmanned aerial vehicles, and then 665 million spent on procuring this kind of equipment. We had, as part of the inspection, the disabled people's organization, again making sure that each stadium is friendly, make sufficient accommodation for those fans who like to access the stadium in their wheelchairs. The African Legacy, you saw the launch of the One World Project, which has a target of providing support for education of more than 40 million kids on the African continent without schools, as part of the development goal, Millennium Development Goals target. That by 2015, 40 million kids on the continent must have a school to go to, 70 million worldwide, and this was launched by the President Zuma. Within Africa, with Africa, artificial pitch program in each country, 53 artificial pitches all over the African country. Football for Hope, 20 centers were resolved in 13 African countries. The first countries, Namibia, Kenya, Mali, Rwanda, and Ghana, and then the others were resolved on the African continent. And these were the centers for education, for health promotion, football, causes to help improve the quality of administration of football on the continent. The public viewing areas, you can see Johannesburg will have two public viewing areas, and each of the other hosted is one each. That will give you some sense of what the public viewing areas will look like. Of course, beyond the fan park, which is the official fan park or fan set, as FIFA calls them, there will be public viewing areas which have been driven by the Department of Trade and Industry, and they've identified in towns and non-host cities where the public viewing areas will be. The final draw on the 4th of December, 32 teams will be present here in Cape Town. About 1,000 media and 2,000 guests will attend the final draw. That is the final draw in Germany. That gives you some sense of what the stage should look like. It's going to be a world-class event, again, to celebrate the best that this country has to offer. And this event will then signal to the world that next is the kickoff on the 11th of June. This country is ready, it has the best infrastructure, it has dealt with any and every compliance requirement, whether it's infrastructure, question of finance, and any other operational issues. And so as a result of the success of the Confederation Cup, the whole world is now positive, looking forward to the World Cup in South Africa. And we are ready. And the final draw will be the final curtain to talk about readiness, and after that is the implementation next year in July. So, Chair, that is just to give you an overview, and if there are any questions on the legal requirements, the guarantees, and so forth, I have Leslie to be there and talk to you about it. Thank you. I am going to ask a question about readiness of the team. And I'm having a specific proposal to them, because I don't hear anything about the readiness of Mahanapa. But now Shepherdson hears my proposal. I would propose that maybe we take Orlando Pirates and Orlando Pirates play as the South African team for that, because for now, Jefferson, I don't think that there's any team in South Africa on the continent that is doing the work that we say rugby, he can't play soccer. John that's why I'm saying, Jefferson, that's my concrete proposal. Maybe we must take Orlando Pirates.
Some of them might not be able to who feel the business or attend the business, the place where I was going around, after special institutions, are you going to consider them in terms of that complementary for this higher arm? I'm not talking about the community and board, but the higher community area. But sometimes what you see, when you watch these matches, some systems are not good, and yet we do have the potential through the school or education to take our learners to those matches. Look, for instance, the question of this coming match, it might be a short notice, was a change of, but surely if through the Department of Education, you can work through that and try to fill up some of the data so that there is a better view for preparation. I would want to see that. I will accept that in job well done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I had the privilege of watching a seminar or listening to a seminar presentation last week at the Pan African Parliament by one of your members of the LOC, and I would like to add my congratulations. The presentation was excellent, and one can only imagine the hard work that has gone into the whole project up to this point. I have a specific question. With regard to innovation at the airport, what analysis has been done to date in terms of incoming visitors to South Africa with regard to visas, with regard to persons who don't have the required two blank pages in their passport, and the boarding facilities at the airport? If, for example, a visitor, a soccer fan, does not comply with South African regulations, what is in place? And have we had any kind of operational analysis done on that specific issue? Thank you.
Thank you for that question. My appreciation for the sterling work that has been done by the LOC. But on top of this explicit presentation that was actually made here, I would want to test as to whether the comment that was once made by FIFA President in relation to the marketing of the World Cup in South Africa, is there anything that has actually been done by the LOC to respond to that? And secondly, is there any particular arrangement that is done by the LOC to ensure that the legacy project and the spin-off of the state are accessible to rural communities, including the school kids that are there that would want to attend to this message, including the one that is going to be in Port Elizabeth, if the LOC may come up with an arrangement that would say rural people or rural youth that want to go to this message, there is a particular budget or a special arrangement attend to for them.
Thank you, and also I'd like to follow my colleagues to thank the LOC about this presentation. But nevertheless, I'll certainly to ask again. Out of 415,000 estimated permanent jobs that will be created by those in the World Cup in South Africa, approximately, what is the status quo at the moment? How many people are already employed so far? And also, the issue of transport, we are seeing in particular in metro or big cities, the transport arrangements which have been much advanced. For example, for infrastructure for 2010, we have seen the how rides, we have seen the RT lines, and also the issue of the how trains. My concern, I'm from the rural area, I'm from Mpumalanga. In Mpumalanga, there's been over that there are no alternative transport like trans, like
case, and I'm like, what is the state of court development about issue creation? And then also, to comment one thing, we are not condoning what happened in Kumalanga concerning the issue of this road to Mombela. We condemn it. That's not right. We don't consolidate whatever was happened. But, oh, this maybe the LOC can clarify us, because what we know is that most of the time, the people who are giving the preference, whatever, are the people who are selling the brand names, like big names, or people who are going to participate in terms of getting something. What about the local people? Are they taken on board? And then that, which is a little joke, but it's very serious, the issue of awareness. We have seen the mushrooming of all greenies playing soccer everywhere. To us, we appreciate it because it's the sign of awareness in the country that people are aware that something is going to happen. What will be, I mean, the role of the role of those greenies towards the opening in particular? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. I'm just going to read now to the MEC for support, and after that, we have another round of questions.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Member. I'm going to handle the most difficult one, yet very exciting one. It's about us. It's about Bafana Bafana. The question that was raised, and of course the proposal. And I'm not so sure whether we should just end up with a proposal and not address the question. But however, I should also try and say, begin to tap into our own minds as South Africans. There's a saying that says, there's very little difference among people, but that difference makes a big difference. It is the issue. Surely some people may see the glass half empty, while others see it half full. I happen to be very fortunate to always see it half full. And I must say, I've been offered by the state president of this country that he has a great hope for the final part. He is on record saying it. And one aspiration that he had was to see Benny McCarthy back. And this is how he goes about it. He said, look, it makes no difference the shape of Ben Makhat. Just bring him back. When he's there, all the defenders are scared of him. And while they are looking after Ben Makhat, the rest of the story goes. And I think this aspiration has been had. We are very optimistic that this team will turn the corner. We have been analyzing the history of the World Cup. Go back to Korea 2002. Little did anybody know about the Koreans. But let me tell you, they made a big difference in that World Cup. This whole stadium, wherever the Korean team was playing, was completely red. I know. Parliament has come up with a very great move. Not 2 weeks ago, the Deputy State President launched the football trial to begin to allow that awareness to South African state. You've got to begin to be behind the South African state. And talk positive about it. The mind can always play hard. The more we say they are not going to be able, is the more they're going to believe in that. And I want us to start saying, we no longer have a terminology in our vocabulary that says this team is not going to make it back. Rather, this team is going to make us proud. Well, your proposal still stands, I suppose. We shall negotiate that. I know it may take a bit of effort to take some of the players from Bafana Bafana back to one of the players so that we keep the balance. But I have, once again, great hope that this team is going to turn the corner. There's going to be 12 and 13 men playing in the game. As long as you are there, already you guarantee the ticket. There's no reason. I don't think any player who will be out there would be there and not dying this close. I'm telling you, we've seen that in the contract cup, and now we're going to see it in the real World Cup. They will be out in Brazil for a couple of months and move to Germany, and they will be practicing like soldiers. When they come back, they'll be as tough as ever. So let's all be saying, we will be out there, and this World Cup will make us better. Thank you very much. Maybe my last two will be the one that then I speak if I can. We've been thinking about it from a couple of perspectives that should we realize that the secret states are not doing very well in PPE, we will go out before the season. That guarantee we will do that. Well, I think I should end up there because mine are the most difficult ones. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. No. Well, I'm telling you, I think, you know, the Wafala Fana thing is a motive thing. I think all of us, we give our support to the coach, you know, that we are expecting the players also. That, you know, they must have happened, that psychologically understand, you know, the expectations and the challenges before them. But also, we also ask them to engage their agents, engage their teams, because if Wafala Fana is going to go for training camp in January, starting from the end of December to the end of January, it should be all the players know what they can, but you know, we might have problems. Some of the countries not wanting to use the players because they did not keep on care and things like that. But I mean, so far they are waiting, you know, towards achieving the full complement of players, so will be selected, you know, for that team. But so far as the issue of the South Range is concerned, I think, you know, on record, you know, it's all our presentation. Even though this book, how training was not part of the 2010 program. And it's important that, you know, we should not comment except to say that, you know, we have been told that, you know, how training can only be ready in October, but, you know, as LOC, we have not, you know, engaged in this discussion, so we have not been informed about it. But for us, we did not make this as one of the deliverables for the 2010 program. We would have liked that it is ready for the World Cup and for the help, you know, in giving up, you know, challenges of transport. But the issue also of the public viewing capacity, I think, is very expensive. In terms of our requirements, you know, in the all, you know, the public transfers, which are legal in terms of the FIFA requirements, all mentioned, the capacity required is 30,000 to 40,000. In your capacity minimum. But again, the issues of security and other logistical, you know, requirements which need to be complied with, if people, especially the public being together, want to extend the number for the need to be controlled. But if you're not going to control it, you might create a problem for the organizer. But officially, in terms of the requirements, the capacity is about 30,000 to 40,000. I don't know whether because the capacity or the number of public being together has been done. In so far as the issue of ticketing, you know, especially kind of the four tickets, those tickets, you know, are $20, you know, in the group stages. But all tickets for South African residents are paid at 7 months, the tickets, regardless of the exchange rate. And that is why the CEO has given the breakdown of how many number of tickets have been sold, you know, this far. In terms of the statistics we have, is 250,000 tickets have been sold this month. And 354,000 is 340,000 is South African market value for those tickets. So I think, you know, it's $20 a ticket, you know, at time 7. Regardless of the exchange rate, you know, the ticket will be unimportant. So, at this present moment, we've got the contribution to fight the campaign beyond, you know, December. Because if we clear that number, I mean, the CEO did not extend the library, that over and above the 250,000, the 300,000 tickets that have been made available to the FIFA commercial partners. How many of those will be returned, we don't know. And when they are returned, they go into the pool of the South African market. And no one in the dollar place, you know, what's called denominating, will be in the South African denomination of 7 cents, which also is going to reduce our income. But take more people, but invite more South Africans and Africans to buy tickets. And the CEO maybe elaborate about the ideas that have been implemented to make it easy for the system that have applied. We saw that there are challenges and difficulties for some people to access the tickets. And I hope, you know, sooner than later, that it will resolve. In so far as the issue of the establishment of the stadium, the overall stage is a mixed way. There are those that are owned by the council and those that are owned privately. So this is a fact that is going ahead because we know how much resources the council has set aside of public money to be invested in those stadiums. So I think the city is discussing that to say what is the equity participation, you know, of sport, you know, in those stadiums, where government is invested money. So that debate is not started to abuse it with the other things that I think the appropriate time to be given with education to council.
Thank you, I think those who are advocating for complimentary tickets for the schools would must thank the South President to say that this will be implemented in Pini. The kids will get tickets for free. Well, in my always announcement of free tickets today. The issues which you raised in relation to signage, the two components here, event signage, I don't know that matches is a soccer match. I don't know to what extent there will be event signage in and around the stadium, in the stadium. But for the World Cup, we've already said in the Confederation Cup, that is a lesson that the signage is a bit too small, it is not sufficient, and we will have that matter sorted out by the World Cup. But then it is also the question of directional signs. These signs along the road, which is another issue that I think question of Mpumalanga has been raised. So if you travel from Johannesburg to Nelspruit, the signage to Nelspruit is also not always clear. The second issue that we have to address, as we've raised the last time, that if you go to Nelson Mandela Bay, you're not going to find the board at the airport. There's no plane that goes there. And yet when you arrive and you step off the plane, there's a big sign saying, welcome to Nelson Mandela Bay. So either we have to use Port Elizabeth, Nelson Mandela Bay together, and that applies to many other of the cities, Mangaung also, that when you drive, you drive to Bloemfontein, and when you arrive, you get welcome to Mangaung. So these are things that will have to be sorted out. Certainly the traveling fans are going to have difficulty to get to the places whose names are not clear, on either the directional side or in the airport destination port, and we have to deal with that. Generally on the road, we have to look at that. Even to go to Polokwane, somewhere in when you go to the second gate, the toll gate, you are then some kilometers from Petersburg, and then the port changes again to say how far you're from Polokwane. I think all of these inconsistencies around directional signs will also be sorted out. The question of immigration and visa, I think the Department of International Relations have already announced that there will be a visa specifically connected to the FIFA ticket. So if you have a ticket, you won't pay additional cost to get a visa to come to South Africa, and that will be accelerated. I think the issue there is that we don't have embassies in all of the qualified countries, so that is a matter that we want to raise, to list the countries that have qualified, and then say that we do not have a presence in all of these countries. Honduras may be one such country. But you then have to travel to Mexico City to get the visa and travel back and then come to South Africa. So these are issues that we will have to raise in the Caribbean in particular. This matter has been raised in some of the African countries too. So it is a matter that we will take up for the Department of International Relations as well as the Department of Home Affairs. The question of the two blank spaces, yeah, that has been quite a difficulty with people who are not aware of this, that there must be two blank pages in your passport before you could And we have an emergency team at the airport to deal with these questions, but also with us, the different embassies that we have, particularly in the 32 qualified countries, that information must be communicated to whoever goes to the embassy to apply for a visa and to make sure they're full compliance and not have a problem on arrival at the airport. The question of marketing and awareness and the grants, unfortunately, in the FIFA World Cup, there's no second race. So the grannies will not be able to play on opening match. But I think it is something that certainly that must be appreciated and encouraged. So we will see whether we can have a grannies World Cup so that they can, because we have a schools World Cup where we have schools adopting each of the 32 participating countries. I don't know whether a Grand World Cup is feasible, but Richard Sopinia, he will look at that matter and come back to those who are interested in the Grand Football Association. Then the marketing, we clearly are going to accelerate the marketing program after the final draw. We then know who the 32 teams coming to South Africa will be, and we know what is going to happen in each of the host cities, so this program will be strengthened, and you will see already in the final draw the signage on the street and the branding in Cape Town, and give you some idea as to what level of branding you can expect in the World Cup. Question of the jobs and the sustainability of those jobs. I think we particularly look at the area of increased tourism, which we know would create additional jobs. The tourism industry, fortunately, is so labor intensive, as we said before. You cannot send your computer with a tourist. You have to send a person. The service is a service intensive industry, and to serve these people, you still need people. So it is an industry that will continue to create jobs. The construction industry, of course, the stadiums are now coming to the end, but we've also seen the skills that have been developed and acquired by those who work on the construction industry, and surely they would have additional skills to use elsewhere in the construction industry. Given the global economic crisis, of course, we do expect that some of those jobs will be lost. I think those are some of the issues that have been raised. I don't know if there's anything that we did not touch on. Thank you.
And there's a little one thing that you have not answered there. Mpumalanga transport.
Well, the question, that's why I said, after the 4th of December, we will specifically look at Mpumalanga. We will have about 1,000 buses. Mpumalanga clearly is fast. And air transport. We've already spoken to the airport authorities. What we then need is extended hours of operation of these airports. And we have wonderful support from the airport authorities to the conservation staff in Bloemfontein, for example, where we didn't have accommodation. We could fly people in and fly people out. And the flights both in Bloemfontein and Johannesburg operated long after midnight, and so we had the cooperation of all the airport authorities. And I think that is, we look at Mpumalanga to fly people in and out of the venue of the
final member of the speaking, only 5 minutes, we are running out of time. I will take you one and two from the world history, four. 5. I'm
tempted to say 6-7 only. Oh, I'm going to get your hand. Come on, come on. Thank you very much. I want to agree with those who have said said earlier that the presentation was absolutely wonderful. But before I even get into that, I just want to point out that I have been a supporter of the Packers, the Buccaneers, since its inception. Long before, or some of you were before, when I was already a supporter of the Packers. In the early mid-40s, after the Second World War, we used to call them, and someone will have to translate that they don't know. Is Niyama than a Matepuka? Is that a Pukarakamaspala and a God? Is that a kiss? Somebody will translate that. But I want to agree with my colleague Dennis there that the Bafana team, Bafana team, should largely consist of pilots. I don't agree with it. The team has got to be a South African team, a representative team. The players should be chosen from all the teams in South Africa, which are football teams. And those are the people who should be prepared and trained for this coming big tournament. It should not be people only from Chiefs or Pirates or Pavos or whatever. No, I want to agree with that. I was saying to the chairperson that the presentation has been absolutely wonderful. It's quite clear that the LOC, in terms of preparing the country, the facilities, they have been absolutely wonderful. In fact, I also want to congratulate them for having won this bid for FIFA to come and take this tournament here in South Africa. You can see the results already. The development of the country. Roads have been developed, airports have been developed, everything. The government is doing everything to prepare the country. Perhaps if we did not win the bid, the government would not have gone to the success of this new development we see in the country. What I would like to know from the presenter is there has been a lot written in the newspaper, media, about the ordinary people who make their living from selling food around the stadium whenever there are tournaments. The old ladies who were really making their living from that. And there was a talk some time back that they can only be allowed to have their little places where they are going to, from where they are going to sell their food. So many kilometers away from the state. I don't know, I would like to know what has been the finality on that matter. Also, the question of what do you call it? DMD, what do you call that? Bed and breakfast. There are a number of, I don't think all the hotels in the country will accommodate the visitors who are coming to South Africa for this tournament. And there are a number of people in the country who are preparing their homes so that perhaps they could qualify to accommodate some visitors except by giving them bed and breakfast. What is the position? What are the requirements? What is the criteria for people to qualify for that? And lastly, this is not a request, but a demand. A demand from the chairperson in particular. I demand, chairperson, of the LOC, a compliment that is taken for the opening and the closing. Those two tickets I demand them and I must be in the presidential suit. Thank you very much.
Only certain countries that I would allow to go on my car. Young people, one question to be different. We are one question.
Yeah, the person that I accept that we are saying is not the one question, but I had only two.
Only? No, one only.
However, we can clarify the question. The person, I think the issue that I just wanted clarity on is the response of the African state and also the target state in relation to the ticket sales. Because what I've seen, I think we have reflected South African ticket sales. I'm not sure whether that includes all the African states in there. And if so, then it's fine, but if not so, how are they responding to the things around us in terms of buying the tickets? We have seen the volunteers. In the volunteers, we have seen, I think, that we showed the Sotho and the other countries around, but in relation to the ticket sales, I'm not sure where that is accommodated. And the second is the last one, Chen, is about the Panama fee. Whether we not are going to deal with the matter that before the game, we're not going to see our players engaged in bargaining. And is this going to be done before time that we don't get bogged down with the players running around bargaining for better fees or playing the game?
Thank you. One question, please.
I feel like that. Chairperson, I leave the other one for Chairperson to ask, so we can't very specific.
Yeah, I will answer that one.
The other one is the timely availability of fuel. I know you say that the first area in the country, the one is my biggest area, doesn't have a pipeline, even from the refinery to the airport. And also, that we have a rail line. So, what about the availability of fuel to the airport? Is there a plan? Are you talking with the refinery or start in the plan?
Yeah, Bongo. Thank you. And mine is a comment. It says that war controls the conflict and the security side. But progress means the stability and peace that we need. Chair, I agree with my colleagues. The presentation of South Africa is ready to go. When come. My comment to that thing is to thank the leadership, the unity, the coherence, the thing of the one team that I see in the leadership of our African country. I want to personally thank you, Mr. Nathan, Dr. Kosa, and Dr. Dogan, for the unique that they have sustained to me, the leadership, because I've been really negative things. I always tell that from the Roma, I thank you, Mr. Nathan, to let you hope, let encourage us to say that we will definitely be able, and I want to thank you, Mr. Nathan, for being leader, for growth, for this being leadership. You know, for being selfless, and for me it gives hope, and on behalf of every South African who loves this soccer and this country, I thank you so much, gentlemen, for the leadership of this country. Thank you.
Don't be good. Baba, everybody.
Thank you, Chair. My little question with the sector is interesting. With the LLC, the matter has read an amendment concerning the special court. Since you are going to have members with diversity languages, special court for this people of time.
Yeah, but my job, yeah. Yes.
Thank you, Coach. We invite the people of Coach Chinese quarterly today I'm really high. Is it important to MSP? Are there any bilateral negotiations between the hotel industry and the MSP? If so, are the hotel rates going to go down after the World Cup? Because, you know, people on the financial is very well in some cases. Thank you very much for the question. I thought that I would be very fun.
The first was around the food sales in and around the stadium. We have spoken to the manager of Art and Culture, and what we talked about is the creation of African villages. The stadium is an activity just on that day and just for 90 minutes. I don't think we must think that the only opportunity is at the stadium. These people are going to be in our country for 31 days. And what we must ask is where and how do we create centers to attract them? And we just discussed with the Minister of Arts and Culture whether we can have these African villages where it becomes another attraction and role point for fans, where they can buy the food, the crafts, the t-shirts, and whatever else. We need to create our own environment where we don't have the constraints of the event. And the constraint of the event is really around the stadium and the match environment. And we are working with the department and the ministry specifically to see how we create opportunities around that. As far as bed and breakfasts are concerned, yes, we are using bed and breakfast again. We had a minister, a meeting with the Minister of Tourism, and we asked that, and I think we are going to create a special accommodation portal to make the information available that if you go to Mount Faith, that you can go in and see where the homestays are available, the bed and breakfast. The 55,000 rooms that we're talking about, those rooms are for the event-specific requirements for the team, the people, family, and so on. But the fans, some of the fans want to stay in five-star hotels, but most of the fans will go to stay in bed and breakfast and other. The key issue is just how do they get the access to the information as to where these locations are, and we've asked that the host cities and the department must work together to provide the information. We also want to set up fan embassies so that when any fan goes into a host city, they can go to the fan embassy. There is also the question of language. In that fan embassy, they can speak in their own language and get the information. Where can I stay for the night? Where can I have a meal? And all the information must be there. So there are also things that we must ask ourselves as South Africans. What is it that we can do to tap into the broad fan base that will move around the country? And yes, bed and breakfast and homestay form part of that. The ticket sales on the African continent, we must say it's not what we had hoped for. At the moment, the only two countries in Ghana and Kenya were seeing significant sales in tickets. But I think the African teams, and even in our own case of one of the fans, they wait for the team to qualify first, and then they buy the tickets. And I can think that once Cameroon, Nigeria, or Egypt, or any of the other teams qualify, we'll see activity in the ticket sales. As far as neighboring countries are concerned, of course, we would also see what we can do to improve the ticket sales in the neighboring countries. But it is not what we expected from the neighboring countries. The Bafana fees question, I think that's a question for the President of Sabah. The question of fuel, I think in relation to generation of power in the stadium, we'll use generated power. We have fuel available on site, and that should take care of that need. I think it raises an important point that perhaps the additional transport requirements in the host cities is something that we look at as whether or not the fuel capacity initial of the host cities would be sufficient to sustain the additional fuel requirements in each one of the host cities, perhaps come back and deal with this question again. The safety and security of special court, yes, there will be special court, because you have to deal with some of these issues immediately. If there's a foreign plan or a company, whether it's an ambush marketing issue or any other legal transgression, then we have to deal with the matter, and therefore special courts will operate. Even on the train, there is a whole police station on the train. One carriage is, in fact, a charge office together with holding cells. So if there's any violation on the train, you take the person to the, on the train to the police station, and there is a cell where you lock it up or her up if there's any need to do so. The hotel rates, I think this is a question that we've raised with the hotel industry and the tourism industry in general, that don't see this World Cup as a one-off, because tourists will not come back if they think they've been ripped off. And so to give quality service and value for money has always been the hallmark of promoting South Africa as a tourist destination. People always thought you can come to this country and you get value for money. That must not be changed over the 31 days. And there are indications that in some cases, yes, it's going to change that perception.
and inhale the inherent danger. We will continue to engage, and I think the minister also must engage seriously on this question. And we have seen this in many major events. We've seen that in 2004 in Portugal, where it went up by 300-500%, the cost of the hotel room. And when you go 2 days after the event, you see the huge drop in price again. And I think it is a matter that we have to deal with, and perhaps also raise it with the minister to let us be vigilant on this matter. I think the last question of that this event must present opportunities for deepening and strengthening democracy, that this event must show that South Africa is a democracy at work and working, and that this is a vibrant example to the rest of the world. I think those are messages that we can take note of, and in the messaging also to take care of that aspect. I think that deals with all the questions which are raised. The question of the fees for the farm, I think that's a tough question. Oh, the movement era. I don't know whether you were advocating for the vuvuzela not to be used, but if you sit with three vuvuzelas, then clearly you are interested. I think our position is very clear. The vuvuzela must be used, must be allowed, and people must come to the stadium. However, we said that strictly in terms of the rules, the vuvuzela is defined in terms of the rules, not allowed. It is a missile, and a missile is defined as anything that you can throw and launch. You can launch the vuvuzela, therefore it's a missile. But for the purpose that it was used, as a friendly, non-threatening instrument of joy and celebration, we argue that the vuvuzela be allowed. If, however, any vuvuzela lands on the pitch in anger, I think we are clear that the vuvuzela will then be banned. Then it becomes a missile and no longer part of celebration. So the vuvuzela is walking a fine line, but it will be used. The response from people from Europe and elsewhere, they don't want the vuvuzela, they don't like the vuvuzela. You heard the Spanish team say, Fernando Torres say, I couldn't hear what David Villa was saying because of the noise. We mustn't have this. So there is very, on the level of the players and others, a very strong feeling against the vuvuzela. But it's going to be allowed, and I can just say, I was in the Azteca Stadium in Mexico. 100,000 people in that stadium. No vuvuzela. The noise level was much higher than any stadium with vuvuzela. They made such a noise, you couldn't talk in the stadium. It was impossible. But next door you couldn't hear what the person said. So, yes, they make a noise for Mexicans. So it's very clear that the vuvuzela is not the only way in which people can make noise. But the vuvuzela is allowed. Don't bring three, just bring one. Because you will only increase the noise level. But we hope that it's going to be used for the purpose to be part of celebrating football in our country.
I don't think it's an unreasonable request. We see the authorities that are in here chairperson. I won't make the pronouncement now because I think it's a compelling case. It should not be only him. You know, we make an announcement, we're having a board meeting here in Cape Town for the AOC. You're not, you know, making a proper announcement.
Not Abush Market.
No, not Abush Market. It's a very unreasonable request. Yeah.
Well, I think you just restricted because you're running against time.
Thank you very much. The concern about Rotan Rotana players coming up with unnecessary demands of the lobby. The understanding is all the players before entering the camp would have signed an agreement in terms of what would be expected from them in terms of rewards and plays, etc., etc. The fees would have been kept and that the agreement would have been entered. We do not anticipate any challenges regarding that. They need to be pacific and understand about Nandi's for the wonderful wisdom that he shared with our colleague. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much, Elohim. Honorable members, I think it has been a really enriching discussion. But then I think you have to make an arrangement, because members know that there is a 60% of total amount on the side of the LOC that is set aside for the MMMEs and all. One interesting question to members of parliament in particular would be, what happened to that? Who are the people benefited out of that? If people benefited, how far is that to 50%, which is a huge amount of money and all that? So those are questions that we have in the court. They will talk to you about OMAMKIS. OMAMKIS is our old grannies that necessarily cannot understand these issues of ambush marketing and all that. But traditionally they have buttons, boards and all other things there. And then what is the scenario around them? But I'm going to discuss that later with them. But I was just talking about that another interest is around the set aside of the 50% in terms of the Special Measures Act. But honourable members, in the LOC, the time is running against us, and then because the two of us have to speak to the joint meeting in the National Assembly, and all members and the LOC are invited to walk to the National Assembly second floor for lunch there, and quickly the bell is going to run, and then we go into the house. There is going to be a joint meeting. And this meeting is to adjourn. Thank you very much.